Monday. I just want it different every day.
No, you personalize it. A lot of your radio show hosts, they don't care, but you obviously care. You personalize it. Thank you for doing that. Hi, everybody. It's Bill and Wendy. This is the Stream of Consciousness. The kids call it the bonus hour. You call it whatever you want. It doesn't matter. Just we're thrilled that you're listening. You know what you missed right before you came in? We do this hour on the seventh floor. The first 2 hours on regular radio are downstairs in the showcase studio, and then we come upstairs and we do the bonus hour. And the window washers were right outside the window.
That freaks me out.
And I waved, and he waved back at me. And I thought to myself as I was waving and smiling, there is not a dollar amount high enough that could make me do that job. I could not. There's no part of me that could just suspend myself. We're on the seventh floor and it's high, but I see sometimes, like in the city, you walk around the city, a guy will be up on the 50th or the 60th floor of
no
a building.
Oh, I wouldn't go one floor up.
No.
I wouldn't wash windows on the ground level. Actually, I like washing windows. The squeegee's
fun.
From
the inside.
No, I'd do the outside on floor one.
Yeah, on floor one, maybe.
Two, no way.
But is there an amount of money they could offer you to be up on a... No way.
I have to tell you a very interesting story that I'm probably 5 days late telling.
What is it?
I think it was last Thursday. I went to leave when our show was over.
Yeah.
And I couldn't get out of our parking lot in the back because there were one, two, three, about four to six fire trucks on the... I guess the lower Illinois, and then above it, there's like a little upper area, too. So
yeah.
Double-decker fire trucks all over the place.
Hmm.
And they were blocking the exit to our parking garage, our parking lot. So I'm like, oh, well, this stinks. And I see a guy on the top of a building. So my heart sinks, and I'm like, God, I hope that guy is not going to jump.
Yeah.
And I'm looking, and everybody's looking up, and it's so funny how we as a society follow the lead of someone else.
Sure.
Because I didn't know where to look, but everybody was looking up, so I'm looking up, making my own story. All of a sudden, another guy comes up there, and I'm like, okay, it's not a jumper. It's just someone on the top of the building looking down to see what's going on over there.
Hmm.
And then I think I see smoke coming out of a window that's open in this very mirrored building that's at the end of our parking lot. And
you know what that means? There's a new pope.
That's what it looked like.
That's what it means.
It wasn't smoke billowing out, but there was like little puffs of black smoke.
It's
very much like that.
Yeah.
Do we have a pope of each building?
Each building in downtown Chicago has their own pope. So maybe that's what it was.
Well, I was completely trapped in our parking garage. I called home to say I don't know how long I'll be here. And all of a sudden, I see Steve Cochran walking from the end of the parking lot, walking towards me.
Yeah.
And he's just kind of walking. And I said, hey, what's going on? He goes, I don't know. And I said, well, we're trapped. We can't get out.
Yeah.
And he goes, no, I already told him to move.
Oh.
I said, you told a giant fire truck to move?
Wow.
And he goes, yeah. So I'm like, well, cool. Thank you. You know, throw down some power. I enjoy it.
Yeah.
So I go up to the gate, and as the arm goes up to let me out, the fire truck pulls away, and I leave, and I never knew what happened with that.
I wonder what it was.
And then I'm thinking, they are filming Chicago Fire all the time. Maybe it was that.
Maybe it was that.
But Steve Cochran got, would you think
that's
for
a lot of power.
Would you even for a second consider asking a fire truck to move because you had to get out of a parking lot?
Nope.
I didn't even consider it.
I'm shocked that they abided by his rules.
Me
there.
Too.
That's very strange. Which leads me to believe it couldn't have been something
dire.
No, it must have just been something very simple, because they go, sir, we're in an emergency situation. We can't just move.
I know.
So you can get out of the parking lot.
I have to hand it to Steve Cochran, because never in
gutsy.
My life would I mean, there's videos going around of there was a crime scene and a crotchety woman is walking her dog and the police won't let her go through the crime scene. And she said, well, I've got to get home. And they're like, I'm sorry, you can't walk through it. I mean, I'd never even think to ask them to move.
For one day, I would like to have this job. I can't be a window washer because I'm afraid of heights. But I would like to have the job of, like, on any news broadcast on any station, 97, 52, 32, somebody has to draw the captions. Like when somebody's being interviewed for a news story, somebody has to put the person's name. That's a given person's name. And then you say like, victim's cousin or neighbor or something like that. I would like to put captions like crotchety old woman. Just to see if that...
You know how long you'd have that day?
Well, I only had the job for a day.
Oh,
so
okay.
Even if they fired me, I'd go, I was only hired for a day anyway, so I don't
you'd
care.
Make it one screen grab.
Right.
And then you'd
that
be done.
Be
crotchety woman would be the only thing you put
peculiar
up
there. Peculiar kid from the neighborhood. I would just put stuff like that.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Wouldn't that be fun?
It would make news much more exciting.
I think it would. I think it's a great idea.
Who do we pitch for that?
I don't know. Somebody must be looking to try to shake things up a little bit.
It would be exciting because we're all thinking that as we're looking.
Yeah. All right. I have some sad news from the world of show business. Nobody has died. I mean, that's not sad that nobody has died, but
no, I know what you mean.
That's good news that nobody has died. Although in baseball, we lost Don Baylor, the former manager of the Cubs, and Darren Dalton, who was one of my favorite players growing up.
I saw that. I didn't know who he was, but I read the headline to Jimmy Mack, and he goes, yeah, I heard that.
Oh, it's so sad. He was a catcher, very dynamic catcher for the Phillies. He got him a World Series, and he was married to a Playboy playmate for a while, which
that's
if you're
you
a guy,
him.
That's like, you know.
That's why you liked
that,
him.
Well, it's one of the big reasons. Although sometimes I think, and this is just a theory.
I love your theories.
Sometimes I think, Wendy, that being married to a Playboy playmate might have its own set of problems.
Many.
It's something that I think if you're a guy, you always say, wouldn't that be the coolest thing in the world to be married to a Playboy playmate? But secretly, I think there might be some underlying problem.
The main one being millions of people have seen your wife naked.
Yeah.
You don't even like when people look at Terry. When she's fully clothed.
No, I'm fine with that. But, you know, she said to me once, for people who don't know, my wife is an actress. And she said to me, what if I got a part in a play where I had to have none of my clothes on? And I said, you could not be in that play. I would not want her to be in that play.
But you would forbid her to do that?
I wouldn't forbid her, but I would...
Give her the silent treatment for the rest of your lives?
Yeah, I'd never talk to her again.
It seems like she wouldn't be willing to take that part. You know, Chicago...
She was in a play once before we got married.
Naked?
She did not have her shirt on.
And you still married her?
That's why I married her. but I said... If you were to be offered that part today, you would reject. I don't mean today. We had this discussion years ago, but I said you would say no to that, right? And she goes, no, it was a pretty good part. It was a pretty good play. And I go, because I like my friends would come to see her and stuff. I don't know. I wouldn't be comfortable with it.
Well, that's kind of not your decision.
No, it's not. It's her decision, and I'd have to let her make it. But it wouldn't it be weird? Like if you knew, all right, so in this scenario, you're married, you're Darren Dalton, you're married to a Playboy playmate, and no matter where you went, you go, there's the potential that no matter where I am, people have seen my wife without her clothes on. Isn't that kind of awkward? That's weird,
isn't
it? I think
you figure that out before you say I do.
Yeah, I guess.
I know that they're looking for people for one of the Chicago shows. I think it was Chicago Med, and they're looking for somebody, some male, to be completely naked on screen.
Really?
So why don't you take that and see how Terry reacts to that?
Maybe.
It'd be good for the show. Well, maybe not.
I don't think it would be. What was the lowest rated TV show in history? Really? The lowest
ever? Well, it's network TV, so they'd have to blur you out.
There's got to be a blur. They can't just show a naked guy on network TV.
I'd go naked on TV if I could be blurred. Not just
Would
my
you
face.
Really?
Yeah, if they're blurred, what's the difference? I could just not really be naked. Wear a flesh-colored bodysuit.
Did you ever see Chelsea Handler's old show? Not the one she has now, but she did a segment on her old show where it was her and another celebrity, and they were in the shower, like, before the show, just talking over the show. And she had on, one time it was Sandra Bullock, and one time it was Conan O'Brien. I think she did four or five or six of these. And I thought, like the first few times I saw it, because I know they pixelate it,
right.
And you go, well, you can tell that person's wearing a
tube top
or something. But on this, you couldn't tell. And then she said in an interview that she really did it without her clothes on, but that the celebrities always got sheepish about it, went, no, I got to have, I'm going to wear something. But she said, I don't have any inhibitions. I just went in there without my clothes on.
She had a Netflix special, I believe, like a series of, like, it was almost like a docu-series. Really good, actually, and she was topless in it.
Was she really? Yeah.
Sold and everything, yeah.
Oh.
For science.
What? It was for science.
Think about this. If there was, she's very attractive.
Yeah, she is.
And if she was in here right now completely naked, how could you focus on an interview? And imagine being in the shower with her.
Yeah, right. That would make it even, yeah. Yeah.
Kudos to her for making her guests brave? Uncomfortable.
Isn't that brave? Yeah. All right. So here, I only have a minute here, but
we've
I want to talk
all,
about what.
All the time in the world.
Yeah. We could carry this over if we want to. I just want to say that this is a sad note from World of Show Business, but again,
no one has
don't
passed
panic
away.
Because you thought somebody
yeah,
died because
did.
They didn't die. It's a failed marriage for Anna Faris and Chris Pratt.
I heard this and it shocked me.
Isn't that sad? I really like this year. There have been two of these for me. Do you know who the other one was?
No.
Ben Stiller and Christine Taylor.
Yeah, they seemed like a match made in heaven. They really
Didn't they?
Did.
So I don't know. I'm trying to dissect this and figure out why this means so much to me because I don't know Anna Faris. I don't know Chris Pratt. I don't know Ben Stiller. I don't know Christine Taylor. But I think part of it falls on we have this false belief when you see a couple that you go, those guys, they're perfect together. They just seem to be having fun and they're in so much love. And then I think what for me anyway, when you find out that somebody that you perceive to be that happily married, it crumbles, you go, oh, I wonder if I know somebody like this where I go, those guys will be together forever, and then they're not.
I worry about keeping myself together.
Right. That should be your number one priority. You shouldn't be thinking about other people. But in both those cases, I felt sorry for them. I felt sorry for their kids. And I kind of felt sorry for me because I was fooled.
Well, I mean, we don't know the details about it. It just,
right.
I guess what was shocking to me is they seemed so happy with one another. They seemed like a really happy couple.
Didn't they?
But, you know, that's the public persona that we get.
Right.
You know, we're not like their nanny, so we don't see how things act.
Are real.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just wonder if, you know, because he worked out so much to get in shape for the Guardians of the Galaxy. I wonder if, like, all of a sudden he got this attitude, like, I don't need you.
He didn't seem to. He shows up on a lot of talk shows, and he's always very funny. And
he seems still down
to
earth.
I also thought, I wonder if the fact that he's so much more attractive now, I wonder if that played into it somehow.
I thought that, too, I have to admit.
Because when they got together, she was by far the more attractive of the two. And I wonder if somehow that played a part in this. Do you think?
I thought about it this morning, and then I thought, oh, Bill will be worrying about this. I'll let him worry about it.
One of my friends said to me once, we were driving. This is back when I did stand up. So we're on a long drive, and he wasn't married yet, but I already had been married for about 5 years at that point. And he said, of all the people I know, if you and Terry broke up, that would be the hardest for me. And I went, wait, why? Why would that be? He goes, because, like, in my opinion, you guys have the perfect marriage. And he said, if that were to fall apart, I would think it would be impossible to have a perfect marriage.
I get what he's saying.
And then he said, is she in any plays where she's naked that I can buy a ticket to? And I said, that's outrageous that you would ask me that. All right. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We've got more show. News is next, and then more of us, Bill and Wendy, on the stream on WGN.
It's actually a little chilly out there today, but I'm okay with that.
It's in the 70s.
I rode up on the elevator with some nice gentleman who held the door for me, and I said thank you, and he started having a conversation. You know how I love to talk in the elevator.
Yeah.
I said, I got to tell you, we have been blessed with a summer full of great weather, and we really have.
Okay, every time I hear that, it makes me laugh because I have a kid who painted for the summer.
He was rained out a lot, wasn't
he? He did not work one 40-hour week this summer. Not one.
Other than Fox Grove, Fox River Grove, and Fox River, all that, obviously they had some issues.
No, but it's rained like every week this summer.
Really?
Yes.
Why do I not remember that?
I know, because I think it's not a disaster every time it rains. And, yeah, but here and there, I'm telling you, he made half of what he made last year because he has been sent home so much for the weather. Yeah. I'm just saying, I don't want to be a Debbie Downer.
No.
I don't want to rain on your parade.
No.
But,
you do kind of.
Well, all right, well. But isn't today's the first day it kind of felt like fall?
That was, for me, Friday.
Last week.
Remember all the Lollapalooza kids? Thursday was really nice, and then the big storm came in, and then it got chilly.
Yeah.
And these poor little kids in their tank tops didn't bring a wrap. You know, weren't you going to sell Afghans at Lollapalooza? How'd that go?
Oh, that would have gone off over really well.
I had a mink stole booth set up.
No one's going to buy those.
We didn't sell any. We didn't
sell
a single
stole. No one would even
probably
buy a raincoat. They want to look that way.
Right.
But it was really chilly on Friday. Were you here Friday?
Yes.
Oh. You've been off some.
Yeah, all right.
All
right, Rokan. I'm not off that much. He's always complaining.
I don't know if Bob and Marianne work at another station or if they've just been on vacation for the past year. I'm not sure which.
It's hard to keep track.
It's hard to tell.
They'll be back soon. Mm-hmm. Kiplinger has put out a list of things that they say very soon will be gone forever.
I love these lists.
It makes me sad because some of these things are like parts of our life. And like the one I always use as an example for myself is, like, there was a time where we didn't, of course, have video stores, and then video stores were everywhere, and now they don't exist. Well, I shouldn't say they don't exist
at all.
Family
Video.
Family Video still has a couple
adult
stores.
Adult video stores still exist.
Those are still thriving.
Yeah, you're right. I don't know that I've seen a video store in forever.
But it's not like there was a time when I used to manage a video store in Downers Grove, and if you went one block east, there was another one, and if you went one block west, there was another one.
They were all over.
They were everywhere. All right, so these are things that, according to Kiplinger, are soon going to disappear, and you'll never see them again.
I hope bees aren't on that list.
Bees are not on the list.
Thank goodness.
No, bees...
Because there was a time when we thought we were going to lose
bees.
Oh, yeah,
you're right.
The bees are diminishing. There's no doubt about that. But I don't think we'll ever be without bees, I hope. I'm a bee fan.
At least not queen bees.
No, queen bees
like
are
me.
Right, like you. it says, according to Kiplinger, keys will soon be obsolete.
That's true.
No more keys.
Come on. All the new... I hadn't bought a car in a long time, and I bought one this year.
Yeah.
You don't need your keys.
It's press button.
Yeah, and I don't really like that, because there have been several times I forget to turn my car off.
Oh.
I never thought that could happen to
and
me.
That just seems like more room for error with when
Doesn't
you press
it?
A button that it could break more easily than a key, which really never, you know.
Oh, I had broken keys a lot. Because
I
have
a door, if you, like in the cold weather months, if you put a key in your door and turn it, I've
okay,
snapped
who's
two or three.
That
I've done
in
that
the past
a couple
decade.
Times. Oh, yeah, it's been a while.
I mean, at least you have a. Open
now
door
you have
opener.
A button.
Yeah,
no,
fob.
Yeah, but I just mean like when it's in the ignition. I guess
I've broken it in the ignition because. In fact, whenever I used to take my car in to get serviced, they'd say, you can't have all these keys. I have a lot of keys.
Mm-hmm.
It weighs it down. It's going to break. I said, no, it is not. And it had.
What?
Yes.
Oh, wow. All your other keys breaking that key. That's kind of.
Because it just makes it so heavy in the ignition.
Like the custodian at a school?
My part-time job, yes.
Wendy's also a jail keeper.
<That's>
you have
many.
A lot of keys. How many do you have?
What I don't know
for?
Where some of them are for.
I have three, and I feel like that's too many.
I have two. Well, including my car key three, yeah.
I have one for my house, one for my car, and one for your car, Jude.
Yeah. I actually wish I had more keys. I need more keys.
How,
but I guess
have
not
a
anymore.
Dozen.
I have one, two. Those are two for my house. Three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine.
Nine keys.
Nine
but
keys
wait,
and
how are you
three
gonna,
fobs.
How are you supposed to get in your house? Keys can't be
yeah,
obsolete.
You have to have a key for your
right?
house,
yeah.
don't
no.
you?
No, you get the, you punch
the, number
the code,
code
in.
Oh.
Those are all the newfangled, I don't
do
like the way
code?
It looks. No.
I don't either.
I don't know anyone who has a code like
no.
that.
No.
Right,
but
using
I've
it.
Seen
I've seen
it.
The garage codes, but not the house.
Yeah, I know
yeah,
houses do.
People.
There's houses in my area that do.
Interesting.
But I like a key. I want a key.
I want to use a skeleton key still.
Yeah.
I have to use that in one of our doors in our
Ooh,
house.
Ooh, the haunted room?
Yes, but you know.
The room in Wendy Jim's house that no one's allowed to talk about. Who knows
Believe
what goes
me,
on?
We
in
had
there.
One of those in my old house. I was like, shh, we're trying to sell the house.
It
and after
our...
we sold it, I go, you know, it's haunted.
It isn't haunted, but it's funny.
You
lose that key,
there.
You're not going to be able to get in the spot.
I'm pretty sure any key, like a lot of them are.
I would just
universal.
Break it down.
Right.
Really?
Yeah. The skeleton keys, yeah, a lot of them are.
Did you ever keep a key that you had no idea what it did?
Yeah, there's one on
you
here.
One
I'm
on
not
there?
Really sure. I think it's for a freelance job that I would. I could probably take that off.
Yeah.
One's for our office. You have one of those,
right? I do. I use that every day. But I, for a long time, when Terry and I lived in an apartment, there was a key. I had a silver key, a thin key. I have no idea what it was for. And she goes, well, you got to get rid of it. And I go, at some point, I'm going to, that's what it's for, and I'll need it. So I never got rid of it.
Right. I'm
but
sure
it's
you
ridiculous
will need it.
Well, like,
unless you need it for your safe,
right?
I don't think you'll need it.
I don't think so.
I have the issue where I clip them onto my belt loop and then I tuck them in my pocket.
Yeah.
And the keys eventually, just from sitting on them, rip a giant hole in my pocket.
Oh, they do.
Yeah.
Kevin, you got to stop doing that.
It's a problem. I'm looking forward to it.
You got to stop doing that. This one can't be right. According to Kiplinger's, they say that one day in the near future, there will no longer be fast food workers.
I bet everything will be computerized.
Everything?
Yeah, you'll probably punch in what you want. And
it'll
then
just be there?
I don't know how it
somebody
will be
Somebody
would
have to check your order and hand it to you. And
check your order? Yeah. They don't get it right
exactly.
now.
Exactly. I'm looking forward to robots doing it.
We went to the Kane
County.
It'd
just be automated, I guess.
But it was going to be like a giant vending machine? Who's going to prepare
still
it?
Need somebody. Like, you know how at a lot of grocery stores, they have 4 or 5 or 6 lanes that are self-checkout, but somebody still has to come and push in codes for alcohol.
And there's always problems.
Sure,
yeah, those lanes are dumb because
although
they still need someone.
Remove those lanes at My Jewel.
Yeah.
They don't have
they don't
the
have
self
them
no, yeah, we have these weird, like, express lanes now. Where there are people again.
But we went to Kane County Fair yesterday. What's it called?
Kane County Fair.
Oh, it sounded foreign to me when I said it. It just didn't sound right. So we stopped at a Sonic on the way there, and
they're good.
It's kind of fun to pull up to that little area and you just place your order. So that was the closest thing I could think of, but you still needed a person to
somebody
come out.
Somebody brings it out to you.
But it's like an old A&W root beer place where you pull up.
Isn't that fun?
I was bummed they didn't stick a tray on the window, though.
Yeah.
Place on Devon. I love that. Superdog.
They still do that
Superdog. They do?
Yeah.
Well, they
we just
out.
Get it to go.
I think they come out on skates.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
I'm going there.
Gosh, yeah, and they have the best hot dogs ever.
They do.
Oh, my gosh, they're big.
All right, so that seems hard to believe. But think about the percentage of the workforce that won't have any job to go to, because that's their job, really.
When is this going to dissipate?
Thursday.
No, you said in the next 10
it just
years?
Says, it doesn't say specifically, does it? No, it doesn't say specifically.
But you can see that going. I mean, like, even the way they do the Cokes, the Pops now. So
they just
press
a button.
They press a button and it fills it up to where it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Like nose.
It would reduce the staff, but you still would have to have a body there.
Yeah.
I think so, too. I'm not sure Kiplinger is right on that one. What about this one? This is, again, according to Kiplinger, things that will soon be vanishing and forever. College textbooks.
Adios.
That seems plausible.
I told you before, I looked online. Michael has a book that's $326. I can't remember what this is. And it's just, I'm looking online. So that's new. And then there was a digital download that was $150 less or something. We, of course, will go to the bookstore and look for a used book of that. But I'm thinking, half of me said, no, you should get the book. And we were just having a family meeting about it. And my husband says, I think you should get the digital download. You don't have to carry your book with you if you want to search something.
And you'll never get that money, even if you find it used. I mean, you just won't get your return on it.
Of course not.
Yeah, go with the
cheapest but the digital download, if it's $100 and some, it's not like you can sell that back. A book, you can maybe get
around.
$80 for it.
Yeah.
But you're paying full price.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know
how
that works.
We get our books on Amazon. You gotta check that out too.
Yeah, and I will put this little tip out there that I was too late to do, but Dylan is starting high school and there's like Of Mice and Men, which I'm sure we have somewhere in the house, but he wanted his own copy and I get that. I can't find it. There were a couple other books, Romeo and Juliet, that we needed. So I just, you know, you can pay online for all the school fees.
Right.
And then some mom posted something on Facebook saying, get all the textbooks and do that, but then take the, paperbacks and get them on Amazon. They're way cheaper, and I should have done that.
And I mean Amazon for college books. We do all of our college books.
Really?
And
I
then,
haven't even looked.
Because when my son comes home, he, every time, every, you know, quarter, whatever, semester, he's like, oh, I gotta get these books back.
Yeah.
So he has a box, and he puts all the books, and I go take them to FedEx. And that's
all
we
do. And where do you send them?
It doesn't even matter. They give us a label, and it's no money, nothing, and we just send them back, and then we get credit.
Where do you get the credit? At Amazon?
I guess. Yeah.
Well, you don't know where your sending
is? No, because his dad buys the books. That's his job.
Oh.
But I send them back.
I just put it in a box. Maybe it goes to Santa. I don't know.
He gives me the box. So I know for sure we get them from Amazon because they come to the house or to Luke's dorm from Amazon. And they're way cheaper.
But how did it become acceptable for a college textbook to be in the $300 or $400?
It's not acceptable. It's outrageous. But
we all at some point just acquiesced and went, well, it's, I guess.
How did it become acceptable for college to cost $90,000?
Right.
For a state school.
Right.
I know. That's
outrageous.
Why don't they just photocopy the sheets like they used to do in our schools a lot of times? Because
the mimeograph sheets.
Yeah.
Yeah, do it that
way. You could
smell
them. I wonder if they change the books a lot. Because, why wouldn't
the teacher makes, you know, although I guess you have a class of 300 who's going to be making those
copies.
Yeah, but
I mean, if you update the books, because why don't you know someone in that class, give it to the next person you know who's going to take the class. I mean, I'd rather give it to someone.
It's an older edition.
Yeah, exactly. It's a racket.
Quit teaching them new stuff. Damn it.
Yeah, enough with the new stuff.
All about, you know what?
Come on.
People need jobs, okay? We're keeping the economy alive.
I guess, but that seems like a lot of money.
$500 for a book.
We had a neighbor who used to write novels, and then she switched and started writing textbooks. And said to me, she goes, I'll never write another novel again. I make 10 times the amount on a college textbook than
really?
I used to make. Yeah.
It's crazy.
So, yeah.
Wow, what could I write about textbook-wise?
Information should be free.
To some extent, I don't want people who are writers to lose their work, but that's an incredible amount of markup.
Yeah.
It really is.
It's outrageous.
How about this one? These are things, according to Kiplinger's, they say will soon vanish and vanish forever. Your neighborhood mail collection box, your mailbox, the mailbox that you have on
it's
your
corner.
It's already
gone.
Yeah, try finding one now.
I just drop it off at the post office.
Yeah, I do too, because I still mail.
I don't know where there's a mailbox. They're all gone.
Are they all gone by
well,
you?
Well, I see some, but I'm afraid to put my mail in them.
Yeah, because you're thinking nobody's going to come pick it up.
Yeah, it says that they're going to be here too, but I'm like, this is in the middle of nowhere. And
right.
Why would they stop?
That seems strange, though, to think about the fact that mailboxes could just be gone. It used to be so easy to just throw a letter in there, but then I guess they don't do the volume.
Well, when will the mail carrier be gone? I mean, that's got to be on the list.
No. You need somebody to get it to your house. There has to be a middleman for the mail and the post office. There has to be someone.
You don't think they're going to have us pick it up anytime soon?
Oh, no, that was like the old days. You had a P.O. box.
Yeah.
No. Why would they go backwards? Do you know how crowded?
So they can save money.
The post office people are so crabby right now. Imagine if all of us had to go in there.
There aren't any, hardly, post office people. It's like the lines are always ridiculous at the post office.
Whenever you go in, they could stand about twice the amount of help, right?
Or they could zip it up a little bit.
Mr. Zip.
My
that
goodness.
That was the name of their spokes
guy. Not to, you know, disparage all post office workers, but the one I go to.
A little slow.
And I shouldn't disparage mine, and I feel bad that I said they're crabby, because honestly, at the LaGrange post office,
they are crabby.
No, they could not. That's
really?
Probably why the line's so long. They take so much time helping you.
Helping people and being cheerful.
When I try to mail something, I don't even know how things work. I'm that person. Like, here, you need this label filled out. Do you have a pen?
Yeah.
I don't know how to do anything.
Well, and try asking for anything. Like, oh, do you have tape? Well, you could buy tape.
No, they help me.
Oh, no, not me.
It really does go post office by post office. Because I've been to some that are very efficient and friendly. And then there's others that's just the opposite.
We had to go get all of our passports taken, our pictures, and you had to fill it out there. Michael went to Ireland, so I did his a year in advance. And then we all got scared at the beginning of last year, I think, that said, you will no longer be able to fly with your driver's license.
Yeah.
So I'm like, we better get passports. And we went there on a Saturday, and it was kind of crowded, and there were three of us, and there were like 10 people in line behind us probably going, oh, really? The three of them had to go together? Yes, we did. And the lady couldn't have been nicer.
Yeah? Good. That's good to hear.
Couldn't have been nicer. The patrons were the jerks.
Because they were waiting behind this family of three.
You should have gotten there earlier. We got there right when it opened.
That's the best way to do it. In the future, there will no longer be blackouts.
I don't believe that for a minute.
I don't think so either.
I think they'll happen more frequently.
Isn't that curious that they would say this? Frustrating power outages that leave people with refrigerators full of ruined foods are on their way out as our electrical grids become increasingly intelligent and resilient. Two factors are at work here. Slow incremental smart grid improvements to the system that deliver electricity and the rapidly expanding use of solar energy in homes and businesses. I guess that makes sense. The breakthrough product here is the home battery. Developed by the electric car maker Tesla and others, by 2020, batteries will be cheap enough to store surplus solar power during the day and discharge it overnight.
That would be cool.
Yeah, see, and that makes sense. It has nothing to do with the power company, which will have its issues, but that people will. I mean, when our power goes off, and it does often, a lot of my neighbors have generators just boom. I mean, come on.
I don't have a generator.
I don't either. And I'm thinking, I wish I had one, but
Are they that expensive? I'd have never even priced
one. To do a whole house.
Yeah. You're expensive.
But they never are without, you know, lights.
I know.
And I'm sitting here, and it's pouring, or usually a storm.
Right.
Yeah.
Freaking out about my sump pump. And their lights just all go on at the same time.
You can get one that will cover, like, your refrigerator and a couple lights in the house. And I think it's maybe $500 to $1,000. That's still not cheap.
No. So these batteries, I'll wait for the batteries.
Right.
Right.
These batteries.
The home batteries.
These batteries sound like a great idea.
Tesla.
But they'll be like $1 million
at first. But then you wait till everyone else gets one and then you get one.
It doesn't say the price.
Oh, it's Tesla. I'm going to say expensive.
On the expensive side? Yeah.
But if you add up, like if you can bring that then to every place you move, it's your battery for life until it needs to be replaced.
Well, it's like now there's that thing called an ace in the hole, I think, for your sump pump.
What is that?
It's like a marine battery. Everyone should have one.
So
it's a backup.
Yeah.
Right now, you
can have those. It's like a big square
thing. That's about $150. Yeah.
Yeah,
it looks
like
a battery.
Yeah.
And it's just specifically to keep your sump pump going 5-10 hours.
But doesn't it have to be plugged
24
in?
24 hours. No. It recharges itself.
Oh, okay. So I'm safe.
Yeah. So it's always charging. And then when you need it.
And that's called
might even be 24 hours or 48 hours. Yeah,
that's people the game that they play at Wendy's house in the room that they're not allowed to go into without
the
key.
Spooky room.
Right.
Kevin, how much is what's this you're saying you got the price of?
Yeah, so on the Tesla website, this is for your standard 3-bedroom house.
Yeah.
It looks like the 114-kilowatt Powerwall battery is $5,500 plus $700 in supporting hardware plus the Powerwall equipment at $6,200. So you're looking at what, like?
Do you get the car
15,000?
With that? Because they throw the car in.
No, there's no car thrown in.
Oh, and the installation cost ranges from $800 to $2,000.
Oh man, that's
so somewhere $15,000 to $20,000.
Just to, and you're using that as a backup.
But no more electric bills.
But that works off of solar. It shouldn't be that much.
Wait, does that mean no more electric bills?
Well, yeah.
It does?
Yeah. Your whole house would be powered.
Oh, this is to power your whole house.
Your house, not a generator.
Oh, okay.
So you don't need ComEd anymore?
Right.
That might be worth it.
It still seems high.
It seems like you'd have to get your whole house redone then.
Yeah.
In addition to the
$20,000, I think so.
You're going to have to get your furnace to work.
With this.
I guess. I don't know.
Your air. I mean, you need an awful lot of solar power.
Yeah.
Like,
what if it's raining all the time?
My solar lights don't even work
at the
time.
In the garden?
I'm like, well, the sun's been out.
You need like 8 hours.
And people who have pools say those solar panels
don't work.
No, it doesn't warm the pool.
Kevin, get Elon Musk on. We want to talk to him.
Well, there's also reports that he's working on solar panel sunroof tiles.
Oh, he is?
Yeah, or not sunroof tiles. Roof tiles, yeah.
My neighbor,
which would be totally amazing.
There's some guy down the street who... I think it would be the south side of his roof is all solar panels.
Yeah.
All solar panels.
Really?
And I really should talk to him to see how much he saves financially on, like, heating his house in the winter.
That's a good question.
Everyone should and will in the future.
Go to solar?
You have to, yeah. Just to save the environment.
But it's expensive to make that change.
Well, at first, but then once.
Yeah.
That's why as an industry, I think that's the way to go. The green way.
All right. Dial-up internet. That's no surprise.
That's been gone a long time.
Some people still have it.
Listen, if you're listening to us right now on your computer and you're signed into AOL, you don't have to pay for AOL anymore.
Mm-hmm.
People to this day...
I know.
And there are people that have AOL.com as their address, and every time I run across these people, I'm like, are you still paying for it?
Yeah.
My in-laws were paying for it as recently as like 5 years ago. I'm like, you don't have to pay... No,
it's free.
But
then who's taking the money from them?
AOL is still taking it, and that just irks me, because why don't they say, do you know you get internet service for free now? Back then, that was the only way you could sign on to the internet.
Right.
And it was $9.99 a month or something.
Yeah. But you get a free trial subscription in any magazine.
And the good CD.
Yeah, great CD.
But you had to pay a monthly fee to keep that going.
Right.
You know, Bill and I made history when AOL started.
We were the first online chat.
We really were. At the Loop radio station at night, there was a guy who said, well, let's try this. And I just remember you and I being completely 100% wowed because we're talking on the radio. And it's like, join us in our chat room. And you could see what we see now on the text line where people just in their house.
It was so wild.
I love those chat lines, the early ones.
Yeah.
It was as bare bones
as could be.
Right.
It was just, was it a like a green line that kept moving down every time somebody would say, hey, I'm listening and I can talk to you, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Hello, Watson, are you there?
And they had their screen name and a colon and then just whatever their comment was.
It was like, hi, bloop.
Yeah. But it was so cool.
Yeah. Groundbreaking. We were like the Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin of the internet.
And that was, what, 5 years ago?
2 years ago.
Okay.
Can Michael talk to us about solar energy?
Sure.
We were discussing how we could save money with solar panels and such. Hi, Michael. How are you?
I'm doing well, Wendy. How are you guys today?
Good.
So, you know, you were mentioning about, you know, once you hook up all of your solar panels and all of that, and you were under the impression that you would have to change over, you know, things in your house like your furnace and that kind of thing, right?
Right.
But see, that's not the case at all. What it is once you have the solar panel system set up in your home, all of that powers your existing electrical box. It gets hooked directly into your main electrical box. So everything in your house still operates on normal electrical power. It gets transferred over to regular 110 voltage. You know what I mean?
So the solar will convert to your electric box, and then you still get your stuff from the electric box, but you're not paying ComEd as much.
That's exactly the case.
Wow.
And not only that, in a lot of cases, when you have, consecutive days of a lot of sunshine and you build up an enormous amount of extra solar energy into your battery, you can actually sell it back to ComEd. So not only do you not get a bill, they pay you because you have extra power available.
I have always wanted to send ComEd a bill.
You can do it now.
Like my dream day.
So is your house hooked up with solar energy partially at this point?
Mine is not, but I know I have friends that do. Now, again, you're right. It's a little expensive to do it first. It can be $20,000, $30,000, even $40,000. But you think about that over the course of a 30-year mortgage or the time that you'd be in your house, that's a small price to pay to not have to pay an electric bill, you know. But I just wanted to fill you in because when you were mentioning about it and you said, oh, you probably got to switch over your other stuff. And I was like, no, it's really cool once you have it. And Elon Musk, as a matter of fact, he's reinvented. I think you guys were talking a little bit about the electrical box that stores the energy.
Right, the battery for your house.
Right. Yeah, the battery is amazing. The one that he has available is this wonderful, wonderful new component that you can, it's small, it's inconspicuous, it's really amazing.
That's pretty incredible. Thank you for calling.
Thanks,
to clear
Michael.
This up.
Oh, it's great. Can I give a quick shout out to my buddy Gary? He lives in Texas and he listens to you guys online. He used to be in Chicago, but he recently moved there and he loves you guys as well.
Oh, that's nice. Thank you, Michael, and thank you, Gary. We appreciate that a lot. Thanks to everybody.
You guys.
Thank
right,
you.
Take care.
Bye.
That Elon Musk is not very bright.
No. Just barely getting by. All
hi,
right.
Gary.
Judy, thanks for hanging out.
Does he mean Gary Meyer?
No, he meant his friend Gary.
No, I can assure you he does not.
He does okay. Somebody else. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then we'll come by, and we'll close things off. Bye.
What? Come
that's,
by?
That's how I do it, yeah.
Okay, all right. Yeah.
That's it for the Monday edition of our program. Thanks so much for listening. Tomorrow, Kevin, who's on tomorrow?
Well, we've got our Bridget Carey, Miss Amy Guth will be jumping with the Golden Knights.
Yeah.
So we'll talk to her, and that's what we got.
That's good.
Wendy looks excited.
Woo!
All right.
I just thought it was us tomorrow, so.
Oh, no.
Adds to the excitement.
Nope, a lot of things. All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Join us tomorrow. We can't wait. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.